You might want to open your Bible to the book of Revelation just to tie together this morning. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word. Honor thy word. Thank you very much. Talk to us. Give us understanding. Thank you, Spirit of God, for your wonderful work as you exalt our Lord and make thy word for real and for right. Thank you. So deal with us. We're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We share together that God, the basis, the groundwork, the foundation, for all that God does, we found it and reminded ourselves in Revelation chapter 5, chapter 4, and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And the little word for, preposition, has to do with the ground, the foundation for something. You got to put something on something. That little word for means the foundation. What's the foundation? Thy pleasure. But we share together that word pleasure is the word will, W-I-L-L, God's volition, God's will, God's desire. The ground for everything is God's will. And they are and were created. So God chooses, decides, wills to make something happen. And that's why you were all born on planet Earth. God chose you to be born. God willed you to be born. That's what God did. So that's why you're here, alive. God wills you, the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. The will of God chooses to save you. He wills you to be alive physically. He wills for you to be saved. So that's why you can read John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege to become children of God, even to them that believe, etc. Why? God wills it. God has willed it so. He willed you born physically. He wills you to be saved. And you have to be willing to be saved in the light that he wants you saved. Simple as that. Everything is according to his will. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, we shared our Lord demonstrated that. Thy kingdom come the kingdom, the rule, God's sovereignty, his will. His will reigns in heaven. God chooses. He decides everything. He's the painter with the canvas and the brushes and the paints and the painting. It's his. The whole ball of wax is his, every bit of it. So God says, if you don't mind, I'm in charge of the whole thing. So therefore, I want to understand that, and God tells us to. And God tells them, and what's in heaven about? Heaven's going to all power, honor, glory, all about that. And our Lord demonstrated that. He said, we shared all that, that God came to do in Christ the will of God. And that will of God was to go to the cross. And the will of God going to the cross made something wonderful happen, which is why you're born physically. You would never, if Christ had never decided to go to the cross, obviously, you and I would have never been created. The reason you were created is because before anything is, God chose to die. He chose to die on a cross. Therefore, everything has to happen in the outworking of history. Everything has to happen because he chose to make it happen. He wills it to happen. So, our Lord did that, and he died on the cross so that we, and going directly to us at the moment, since we're here, and we only have a few minutes, what are we going to do? Well, God saved us and wills us He wills us, God, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're to his body, and we represent what? God's will. We're in the presence of God. God chooses all that he does. There's nothing going to be that God doesn't choose. He wills it to be done. So God, and he wills us to be born, wills us to be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again, noting, if you would, it's about the body of Christ, all about its wonderful creation, its parts, its everything about it. And in chapter 12, sliding directly, when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, in this age of grace, God places us in his body as his witness. He doesn't place us in Israel. There is no Israel. Israel's put aside. And there's Israel and the Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles, and then there's the church. God's demonstrating his what? His grace to us. It's an age of grace, dispensation of grace. So therefore, when we come to chapter 12, verse 18, we note, but now hath God set the members, each one, each believer, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased. Oh, that's the word will again. As he wills it. So when we come to know that God wants us to be saved, when you come to know the Lord as a Savior, God places you in his body in a unique relationship to him that no one else is going to have in the past or in the millennium or tribulation. It's happening in the age of grace to be in his body. Who places us in the body? The Spirit of God does. He does. It's his will to do so. God does it. So that's why we're there. That's why we're believers. And we need to understand. And what parts we have in the body, that's up to God. That's what it says. God chooses to put us in his body as he sees fit in history, etc. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over to Romans chapter 12. So God's wonderful will has to be outworked. We're supposed to go redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we're supposed to be Ephesians, knowing what the will of the Lord is. Well, what is the will of the Lord? So we're looking at it so we understand. God's going to do wonderful things, and he wills it so. It's the basis of everything. Now, if God doesn't will it, it isn't going to happen. So here's Romans chapter 12. And we were reminded, going directly for time's sake, to verse 2. And be not, well, we're going to be living sacrifices. That's what we do. We're walking around planet Earth, up and down the street, and in and out of work, and home, and everything. And that's what we do. We're walking around believing. We're living believers. Living believers that got saved. How did they get saved? By Christ dying and buried and rising again, according to the scriptures. God, so there's no question about what? God said, listen, the evidence, what do you want that I'm God, he said. Just because the whole dumb world is in darkness and death, and they don't believe. You better believe. Wow. He makes it very clear. So now, very simple. And therefore, verse 2, for be not conformed, be not made fashioned after this world system, don't be caught up in it, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, your thought process. The whole thing begins in the heart and mind. Out of the heart proceedeth all the thoughts and all the actions of man. And in verse 2 again, renewing of your mind, that you may prove, put to the test, what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, we're supposed to know. We're supposed to be moving in the will of God. And that's rather awesome in itself, once we get that a little bit in our head. moving in the will of God. Hang on. But in doing it, we need to understand Romans 7. Again. And in Romans chapter 7, and may I pick up, please, before I read Romans 7, just turn to, well, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I want to just give you a thought ahead of that. Romans 8 and verse 6. Be not carnally minded. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity, hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please, as you were going to come to, please God. You can't please God in the flesh. You just can't do it. So that's A. Hang on, because we're going to get to the pleasure, I hope. Now, back over to chapter 7. Paul said, do you know Paul? No flesh can glory in his presence. So chapter 7, you have to go through the exercise, and as you grow and learn and walk with God. Chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 18 again. For I know that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but a will present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Would, and we share together will, for to will, I will. But your will, you can't fleshly, we read that and reminded ourselves in John chapter 1, verse 13, it's not by the will of man, the will of the flesh, the will of anything. So it isn't our will. We can't choose to make something happen and wish it to happen. God does. We will all over the place. And everyone's doing that which is right in their own eyes. That's the will. All people doing. All running all over the place, hither and yon, across the world. Wow. Now, and therefore, I'll go down to verse 20. So, if I do that I would, will not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I got an old nature, and in my flesh, no flesh shall glory in his presence. So I need to understand that when I want God's will. So it isn't what I will. It doesn't mean you aren't willing things. You are. You will what you want for lunch and everything. You're willing things. It's just you want to make sure that your heart is looking to God properly so that you understand there's a certain freedom. Whatsoever you eat, left side, right side, back front, whatever you eat, whatever you drink, eat to the glory of God. Says you have choice. And God gives you a whole lots of choices. What kind of tie you have, what kind of dress you have. We have choices. But then there's things we don't have choices in, and we have to look to God to help us so that we're walking, doing the normal, eating and drinking, coming and going, living and everything. And then the other things that are all part of it, God is outworking that. That's his will. Now, so therefore, having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over if you would please in the light of that, for time's sake, John, 1 John. In the first epistle of John, I'm just trying to remind you of several things that may be, I hope, helpful, among other things. 1 John. And in 1 John, picking up, in chapter 2, you'd recall, remember, don't be conformed, Romans 12, 2, don't be conformed to this world. Now, keeping that in mind, put together the next piece that goes with it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world system has no place for God. No place, it's an evil, dark, dead system. Verse 17. And the world passes away. It's all going to disappear. It's not going to remain. And the lust thereof and all the desires, all I must do that. Everyone has that which is right in their own eyes. And then what? It's all gone. You did what you did. You wanted what you wanted. You ate what you ate, using that. You're doing what you're doing. And it's all over with. All gone. All of last week is gone. All gone. Not here anymore. So it's all gone. But it passes away. Today will pretty soon pass away. The world passes away. The world system passes away. And all the things that are going on that are very not good. How's that? Did it come out all right? Very not good. They're not good. I was talking about New York and restaurants and then whatever the governor, you know. Governor said, if I want to close you all down, I can. That's no good. That's no good. No good. Well, that's wrong. It's just wrong. Anyway, so a point. Forget that part. Verse 17. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So that's what we've got to do. We're looking for God's will as we eat and drink and come and go. All the simple things, no ordinary things of life, iron your clothes, and do what you do. That's right, you do them. They're ordinary. And then there's the other outworking of all the details that are involved in all the pieces that have to come together that we aren't even conscious of at all. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so we're looking God, we want God's will in God's way, and it has to outwork itself. So here's here in 1 John. 1 John, if you would, in chapter 5. And in 1 John in chapter 5, you're going to recall, if I can, keeping in mind, God gives us his word. That's how we understand. You want to let God talk to you? That's why you got his word. God talks to you. That's his whole word. One God, one book. One God, one book, one word. And 66 books. That's how we understand. And God talks. And we get a mind. We let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. And God gives us his word to have something to work with. Otherwise, we'd be awful stupid about God and how God works. So here's 1 John 5. And you'll know, since I said written, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So that's why we're reading. So I understand God's will, why he does things. He does them because he wills to do them. And everything that happens that he wants, he wills it. Verse 14. And this is the confidence then, boldness, that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So we pick and choose the food and coming and going and the work and home and clothes and everything, all that stuff, ordinary living. And we ask his will. We ask his will according to his will. What do we want to know? Romans 12:2. We want to be approved to God. We want your will. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians. So God, we got it. So that's what we want. Are we wrong? No. That's what we're looking for. God to outwork our life. We keep saying that for 1,000 years. Keep saying it. That's what you're doing. You're doing. You're working. You're saying, I think I'm going to be this. You may or may not. You think I'm going to do this. You may or may not. I'll be there, I'll be here. Maybe, maybe not. So therefore, according to his will, he heareth us. Hang on to that. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now we want to know God's will. I want God's will. And we're going to do everything I'm supposed to do, I think, today. And then the other things I don't know about, God does. And God knows how it's going to work, so that's what I'm going to do. And God, that's what I want. God said, if I want that, Verse 15, I have it, and so do you. You want it, you got it. How's that? You want it, you have it. Go with it. You want my will, I have to outwork it. Remember Hebrews 10, 36? You can't know the end till you do the will of God. So we don't know, we just keep doing, and God works everything out. And we get to where we're going at the right time, in the right place, in the right way. And God does that. And God already does that for us in a most remarkable, wonderful way. Now, having said that, simply to a thousand different ways, as it seems. 1 Thessalonians. To make it simple, God makes it so simple. And in 1 Thessalonians, if I can, picking it up, directly, verse 16, rejoice evermore, shortest verse, according to the Jesus wept, John 11, and this is it, two words, John 11, three words, Jesus wept, three Hebrew words, Greek words, anyway. In the process, pray without ceasing, verse 17, command, present tense, and underlined in my mind and heart, in everything, give thanks. Why? For this is what? The will of God. It doesn't say what to give thanks for. It says in what? Everything. Why? Because God's working in you out his will. And all we do is the normal things. We don't have God doesn't give us the schedule and how everything's going at each hour or minute. He doesn't do that. What next week is going to be, he doesn't do that. We just have what? We know we're in his will. We're looking for his will. And as we do that, as we go down the corridor, in everything give thanks. And we share that 100 times 1,000. Give thanks. Why? God's doing what he's doing. Everything he does, is he wills it. And if he doesn't will it, it isn't going to happen. So, and if he wants to stop something, override something, he does it. He rules and overrules. So God, here we are looking for the will, your will, to be outworked in a matchless, wonderful way. So simple. It is absolutely simple. You have to do it, though. You have to believe that God, in his presence, is able to do what he does in your life. Not in the people out there, everything's going on. God runs all that. God cares for that. God knows all the traffic on the highway and everything else. God knows these things. And you're just doing what you're doing as much as you understand it, trusting God. So, over to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, as you come to the end of that wonderful book, and you come to the end of the book of Hebrews, remember, keeping in mind God's wonderful how he does things and when he does things. Hebrews chapter 13, picking up in the as you come to the end of verse 20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Remember David, that's what's triggering all this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. What does it mean to have God with you? What does it mean to have God with you? That's what we're trying to do. Now, therefore, in verse 20, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. What's the prayer, God? What's your spirit of God? What are you after? Make you perfect in every good work. Why? To do his will. That's right. God, you make it happen. I'll make it happen. You want my will? John 5 and 15, I'll do it. I said I'd do it. You want it? I got it. You got it. So he ain't working. Oh, I don't know what, nothing happened today. What did you want to happen? See? I thought this would happen, but it didn't. If it didn't happen, it wasn't God's will. And you relax. And you relax. But no one arrested me today. No one did this. No one did that. No. No, in God's time, everything. And you're resting. You're resting, resting in his wonderful will. And therefore, again, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you, that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever and ever and ever. So God, you're going to be doing what you do and the way you do it and how you do it, and that's what you're doing. And God, we're learning to how to do it in a simple, wonderful way to enjoy being saved. Now, so therefore, we shared together in Psalm, when we did Psalm 23, verse 4, and the rod and thy staff, remember, I'm not losing it, I'm just trying to put a piece in front of that, after that, to tie the next piece together. And here we are, God, and thou preparest, rod and thy staff, they comfort us. We shared comfort to console, to cheer, to encourage. Mm-hmm. Thy rod and thy staff, the authority and the support of God, God's authority, he's God, he's sovereign, it's his will. And the staff, to be able to support. God, can we be supported in our journey down the corridor of time? Absolutely, absolutely. Absolutely. It's my will. It was my will to create you, my will to save you, it's my will to do it. So, why don't you trust me? That's what it is. It's a wonderful thing. So we don't get caught up in all the stuff. Wow. Now, in the process, and this thing in the little headline, the little paper I saw, the drugs and addiction and all of that are increasing, understandably. Suicides, everything. Why not? We're asking for it. I told you, you haven't even started yet. Well, now, Therefore, God, here we are looking, and you're going to do your good will in your good way, and you're going to go and comfort us in every way, and we share together, Lord, the Spirit of God is our comforter. It's the Spirit of truth. He comforts us in all his truth. Now, God, what are you doing to comfort us? Well, what you want, you created us. Over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll pick it up. God, you created us and saved us. Uh-huh, I did all that. And verse 18, in saving us, it's a wonderful thing. Verse 18 directly, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that purpose you may know what is the hope of his calling, why God saved you, why God chose to save you, why God will to save you. He wills people to be saved, if they would choose. The hope of his calling, but the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So God saved you, and he saved you, Father, think of John 6. God saves you, Father's will, that God, of all that he has, he'll lose nothing. And God is going to be glorified and honored by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has a trophy. What's his trophy? The believing heart. The believing heart. That's his trophy. The body. So that forever, Israel's down here, over here. Where are you if you're saved in the church age? You're with him. It's his trophy. What's it for? Ephesians, you know it, chapter 2, you don't have to turn there. Verse 7, 6 and 7, what? We are his body. We're going to be seated in heaven. We're seated already in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For what? To demonstrate his grace. He's got a body. And the body is going to, wherever he is, they are. What are they doing? What is their position? They aren't angels. They aren't seraphim. They aren't Israel. They aren't the Gentiles. No, it's the church. It's the church. It's his body. He shows himself in the most awesome way. See? Wow. You'd say, well, what book are you reading, right? What are you talking about? I'm telling you what it is. What it is. It's awesome. Think about it if you really want to. Here you are, created, and if you don't pay attention objectively to the creation, stars, sun, moon, birds, flowers, your body, everything else, and the word, all the truth of history, if you don't pay attention to that and you block it out, very subjective, if you do all that, then you don't see anything. Easiest way to do that. The spirit of God, the devil, goes and blinds the minds of those that believe not. And if you don't believe, you don't see. And if you don't see, what difference does it make? Because you're blind. And you don't see. So the whole world's unsaved, blind, in darkness. They can't see. So when you come along trying to tell them this, that you're seated in heavenly places, God is in you, they don't want to see that. They just can't come to grips with that. They couldn't come to grips with it in Christ, in front of them for 3 1/3 years. They couldn't come to grips with it. Wow. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, Ephesians 1:18, or if you would to Ephesians 1:5, chapter 1, verse 5. And now, God, you're going to will what you do. And what you will, it's translated in Revelation 4:11, pleasure, okay. But we're going to go from will, because that's what will is what pleases God. God does what he wills because he wants to do it. It's his pleasure to do so. Okay, let's get that part of it. Ephesians 1, verse 5, directly. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. His will, the good pleasure of his will. The word pleasure, it's his pleasure to do so. It pleases him. Hang on to that. It pleases him to do it. He just doesn't do it. It pleases him to do it. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, there we are again, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. God, you did it. That's right. It's my good pleasure to do so. So God, here you are doing what you good. It seems good to you. That's right. I'm pleased to do so. I will to do so, and my will is a pleasure to me to exercise. So I'm exercising my will in a most pleasant way, and I'm doing so. To think good, to be pleased, desired willingness is the word. So God, here we are looking. Over to Philippians chapter 2. And in Philippians chapter 2, God's will, all over the place, but here's that which you know, but you want to put it together always. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 again. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to understand that. Be not conformed to this world. We're trying to put it together with some intelligence, with some understanding. So we aren't sort of just floating in the air out here. And therefore, work it out with fear and trembling. And the motivation, the reason, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will, there's your word will, it's God's will to work in you, it's God's will to work in you, and to do of his good, what? Pleasure. God is happy to work in your heart. And we need to be in the place where God is happy and we're happy he's working. He which, think of Philippians, you're right there. Go to chapter 1, you'll read it. Verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until he comes. So God, here we are looking, and God, you're going to will to do, and it is your good pleasure to do so. It's your good pleasure. It pleases you to do so, to do it. So when we look to God to take care of us and help us and to move us through things, God, you're going to do it. I am. I'm going to do it. It's my pleasure to do so. Do you see it that way? Is that how you understand it? That you're supposed to trust God and it's his pleasure to be God in you. It's his pleasure. And if you start enjoying that, you start being a pleasure to God. Are you a pleasure to God in your heart? Is God finding a home in your heart? God's pleased to do. And we're pleased. We should be pleased. And as he does, we become an enjoyment, his inheritance. We become an enjoyment to God. We're in his presence. He delights, I've said that how many times? He delights in being who he is. And we need to go and be delighted that he is who he is, doing who he is. Here we are assembled together, those that want to be, it could be, and here we are. Wow. And God's delighted. God's delighted. God wants to be delighted with your heart, that you're delighted with God. Well, I think about God. I thought about God last week sometime. That's good. You know. Did you ever thank God? Thanking God in everything? For this is the will of in everything. Think of Ephesians 5. In everything, thanking God the Father in all things. So, God, here we are thanking you. Why are we thanking you? And it's a pleasure. God, it's a wonderful thing. I can thank you. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for willing. Thank you for doing. God, you want to enjoy. I want to enjoy. You enjoy being my God, our God. We want to enjoy you. We want you to enjoy us being your inheritance. You're saved. Your body. We want you to enjoy us. No? Isn't that what it's about? Sure it is. You don't hear it. You won't see it. Unfortunately, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just doesn't exist enough. That's for sure. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you can, over in First John in chapter 3. And what we just tried to mumble out, there are very few even care about what we ever said. They'll never, never, never hear it again. Because no one's ever going to say it to you. No, they aren't. I don't know anyone. I've never heard anyone tell me that they were so happy with God. They wanted to be a pleasure to God. When was the last time someone told you, I want to be a pleasure to God? I want to be a pleasure to him. From being my God and Savior. Huh? Wow. That's hard to come by. Now, 1 John chapter 3. So that's why we're nudging and hitting each other a little bit to understand. So therefore, 1 John chapter 3, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 22. Chapter 22. Verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, remember we asking in John over in chapter 5, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why do we receive what we ask? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing. It's a pleasure to God. Pleasing in his sight. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have to turn there. John chapter 6, verse 29. The Lord Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. I please God to say it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God is delighted to be my God, said Jesus, in his flesh, perfect humanity. He's delighted to be my God. Wow. Now, what's his body going to, Christ in you? Is he the same? Is God the Father pleased with Christ? Is Christ going to please the Father? So when you outwork this life in you, the eternal life, your relationship as a body, what are you doing? You're going to be pleasing to God. That's why we keep hitting the little bits of truth here and there. To what? If the more you amen it, you could have prayers by 7 zillion people and go nowhere. And one little heart that wants what God wants will do the job. We want to be able to amen what God has said. Because God isn't going by what everyone says and wants. He's going by his will. Everything he does is according to his will. That's what he does. So God, we're trying to learn. And therefore, God, as we're looking, so that whatever we do, we want to do it in such a way, whether we eat or drink or whatever, to the glory of God, to the Father, thanking God and everything, because that's what God said to do. And we're thanking God. God's pleased when we're thanking God and looking to God and outworking it. And the Lord Jesus Christ is in us, is going to do it. Is God going to be less in Christ in us? No. He's going to please him. He's going to please the Father. So as I let the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, my relationship to God, outwork itself, it's going to do wonderful things. And God's going to do it. Over to 1 John and chapter 1. And in 1 John chapter 1, now, this relationship, a wonderful relationship. First John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. What is that? John's the last living apostle, and here we're reading it. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And then, wonder of wonders, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship. Wow. Our fellowship. That's right. Wow. So John's up there with Peter, Paul, and the rest of them. We're still down here. That's right. But their fellowship and our fellowship, their fellowship in the presence of Jesus Christ, and our fellowship in the presence of Jesus Christ. Same God, different locations, different atmosphere. We're still in our old nature. So we got a problem, and we have to keep working on it. Now, and in the light of that unique fellowship, what does it produce? Verse 4, and these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. I want you to be enjoying it. I want you to, A, experience who I am, God. B, I want you to enjoy the experience. That's what I want. Now, how often do you find people, believers, that are enjoying being saved? And that's what we're talking about, a pleasure to God. A pleasure. Well, I got to do this and I got to do that. No, you may have too many gutters. And you're trying to do too much, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and you're caught up, and then you'll be caught up in the fears and the frustrations and all the stuff that's happening out there, young people and young drugs and everything. No wonder. They don't have. They're in darkness, and darkness is beating them over the head. They're in evil, and they don't understand the evil. They're part of it, but they don't understand it. Now, God, here we are, little lights in the darkness. Now, God, looking to you, over if I can, in the light, count it all joy. Jude, book of Jude, not very far away. The book of Jude, picking up if I may. And in Jude, go to the next to last verse, 24. Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence, the presence of his glory, with exceeding what, dear friend? Joy. God is excited. He's pleased. It's a pleasure to him to be doing everything in his will in the believing heart. It's his pleasure to do so. He's going to present you with joy. His joy. To a father, say, what do we got? You look in the mirror. Are you joyous? Do you look joyous? No. No offense. No. We're just us. Bumbling old us. No offense to anybody. That's what we are. And God, we just are missing. We've got to line up. It's awful hard because everything's against us lining up. The opponents, the obstacles, the enemy, our own nature, our history, our traditions, our backgrounds, our idiosyncrasies and everything else all line up inside and make it so difficult to simply believe. All our different things. Now, over, if you would, in closing, over to Ephesians. We share together all that you ask. God already will do it. You ask his will, God's going to do his will in a most, most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and the joy of God is going to be outworked, and his pleasure and his please, he's being pleased. If we ask anything in his name, he's pleased. It's a wonderful thing to look to God. God is honored when we do so, looking for God to be God. He has he's the boss. He's sovereign boss. He calls the shots. And we're looking to him and believing in him, trusting in him. Therefore, sliding down again, picking up the little bit of the context, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend, understand, with all saints, with the rest of Peter, James, and John, what is the breadth and length and depth and height in the middle of love, smack dab in the middle of it. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, so all we can do is enjoy it, that we don't understand it. It's too much to understand. But boy, we can enjoy it. Passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. It pleased the Father, you have to read there, Colossians 1, 19. It pleased the Father, underline, to give him to be all God in Christ, in his perfect humanity. It pleased God the Father to be God. That's why he said, my Father. I do nothing of myself, my Father. If you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. Okay, next statement. Verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dynamite, the dynamo, the dynamic that worketh in us. That was pretty fast. A lot of words in there, right? Let me do it a little differently. The same, look at verse 20. I'm going to say ask. I'm going to build. Watch, I'm going to start at the top. I'm going to come down like this. Here's the top. Ask. And now I'm going to slide down like this. Ask. Like this. Ask. Ask or think. All that we ask or think. Above all that we ask or think. Abundantly above all that we ask or think. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, how do you want God to say it to you? How do you want God to say that to you? Can you think of a better way? No one can talk like that except God. God said, I want you to understand. What power? I give the dynamic to make it happen. You can't ask it. You can just enjoy it. That's all. And either you are concerned and want to or not. And sometime we have to have our arm twisted to wake up. Sometime we don't. Sometime things have to be taken away, Philippians 4, in order to get them back properly. God, you got to help us. Above all that you ask or think. God, thank you that we are an enjoyment to you. Spirit of God, help us to be an enjoyment to you as to you. And thank you for being pleased and pleasant, your pleasure to be our God. Thank you very, very, very much. Thank you. Wow. What did you get at church today? I have to thank God that his pleasure to be God, and I want to be a pleasure to him. God help us. We'll pray. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts and help us in understanding. God, it's not hard to just get tied up in so many things, and God, we miss the simplicity. You told us to beware of the simplicity that would be taken, the simplicity that we find in our relationship to you. And God, the system, the devil, the whole world wants us not to have it. So simply being a child, your child, enjoying your love and life and light. God, thank you very, very much. So deal with us according to your pleasure, according to your will. And we'll thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.